You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I can tell you today about God, but don't ask me to explain everything about God.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
In all the greatness of your majesty, O God, reach into our hearts with the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We need your forgiveness, and we ask you to forgive our sins out of your kindness and grace in Christ Jesus. We need the gift of life created and recreated within us by faith in Jesus Christ. Give us faith to put our trust in you and in your love toward us and the whole world. Make us your children in your family, loving one another as you have loved us, with an everlasting and never-ending love, all in Jesus Christ, in whose name and by whose command we pray. Amen. There are times when words are inadequate. I remember the time, about 10 years ago, when I said goodbye to my only brother for the last time. He said to me with great understanding, "There are times when you don't need words." There are times when words are not only inadequate, but unnecessary. Confronted by all the wonder of God, actually the grace of God and the peace of God that passes all understanding, Paul more or less threw up his hands in amazement and said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments! And his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has given a gift to him that it might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." People are drowning these days in a sea of words. They pour forth from the printing press onto page, over a loudspeaker into the living room, and from the television tube and from both podium and pulpit upon people who are bracing themselves for the shock. It's like walking uphill against a strong wind. The words pour forth, and you have to plow through them. Once in a while, I get a letter from somebody who says, "Who are you to be talking about God? You don't know everything about God." I can understand the irritation that produces a letter like this. Once in a while, we preachers give the impression that we do know everything about God. The fact is that we are dependent upon the Word of God as anybody else is. We need to listen to the Word of God, to learn from the Word of God. Even then, we do not know everything about God. St. Paul said, with all his experience of God and all of his intimate association with Jesus Christ, that he was simply amazed beyond understanding at the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. "How unsearchable are his judgments," said Paul, "and how inscrutable his ways." Words are simply incapable of describing fully or even putting into complete perspective both the magnificence of God beyond the reach of people and the mercy of God that reaches down into the hearts of people. Whether St. Paul or Isaiah, the tallest of the saints, always expressed their frustration and their own inability to comprehend fully the wonder of God. Words failed them to tell even what they did understand about God, not to speak about the knowledge of God that was still beyond their comprehension. They could only sing the praises of God and affirm their love for God. They responded in faith to the majesty of God and accepted in faith the miracle of God's love in Christ Jesus. None of them even tried to explain the being of God. They described his being, but they did not try to explain it. Often I've been asked by people to explain how the one God could at the same time be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The being of God has been described by people in the church as the Holy Trinity, one God in three persons. That word persons itself is inadequate to explain what God himself has disclosed to us about his being, that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All we can say is that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has given us a marvelous glimpse of himself as the Father who created the world, the Son who became a human being for all of us and died for the sins of the world, and the Holy Spirit who reaches out to transform the lives of people with the good news of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Who is equal to the task of explaining that? I can tell you about it, but don't ask me to explain it. When words fail, then what? Do we pool our reactions to see where we come out? Do we depend upon what people call their gut reactions? Do we make a list of our ideas about God? When our words fail, God's word does not fail. It's his word, not ours. We have the word of God himself about who he is and what he does. When words fail, the word of God speaks. It tells us that the mighty God who created the world became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Our relationship to God is not pinned to our abilities or our insights, but to the outreach of God himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ, we begin to understand. In him, St. Paul said, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. The Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he will disclose him, said Christ himself. When it comes to God, we live by faith, not by sight. Faith is not exactly a shot in the dark. It is a leap into the unknown. It is not foolish to have faith in God. When it comes right down to it, faith in God makes more sense than anything else in the whole world. When all else fails, there's always God. He is not the last resort, but the first one. In the same way that St. Paul knew it, I tell it to you, from the disclosure that God has made of himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. As St. Paul said, God has made all men prisoners of their own disobedience that he might show mercy upon them all. That's the whole story of Jesus Christ. God showing mercy upon all men everywhere. For all men Christ died. And to all men everywhere, God extends his forgiveness. He actually gives forgiveness to people with faith that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is Lord, having died on a cross and being raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. In his lordship, Jesus Christ offers forgiveness and life to people everywhere. In his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ has authority to forgive and generosity to give. If it were not for that vaunted disobedience of our humanity, we would all be saved right now. If it were not for our pride about ourselves, our prejudice against God, a passion to satisfy our own desires, and our hostility against every intrusion of the mighty God upon our lives, there would not be anything separating any one of us from God. And this is the good news we have from God. It is in his Son, Jesus Christ. If you are far from God and you feel that he's far from you, don't blame God. He is rich in mercy and full of compassion, long-suffering, and of great patience. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who rest their fears in him and put their trust in him. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has stood at his elbow to give him advice? Or who has given a gift to God that he might be repaid in return? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As you can see, that's faith. Faith in God is all important. It's the difference between life and death. It's forgiveness instead of trying to spend your whole life justifying yourself and always failing in the end. It's putting yourself into the hands of God and letting him take it from there. It's receiving by faith the Son whom the Father sent to be the Savior of the world. And whatever God has to give comes with that gift of his Son. You can put it all together in two simple words: forgiveness and life through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith receives what God has to give as the gift that it is. Faith is grand, so grand that it cannot come from anything we are or anything we have. Some kinds of faith may come from inside ourselves, but faith in God has to come from him. As Martin Luther once said, and it's the truest thing he ever said in his whole life, "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." God the Holy Spirit is doing his work in the world all the time, bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ and giving them life which is in Christ and which comes altogether from God. Faith takes over when words fail. For some people, faith is a kind of fervent wish. Sigmund Freud, the father of modern psychoanalysis, once said that faith is an illusion, a projection of man's wishes. For a great many people, faith is just that, nothing more than a fervent wish. As the American poet Edward Arlington Robinson once said, the world is a kind of spiritual kindergarten where millions of bewildered infants are trying to spell God with the wrong blocks. God cannot be spelled out in the blocks of logic. God is not a theorem to be proved. If he were, he would hardly be worth proving. God is not spelled out in the blocks of science. He is not an object to be studied. Even with all the study, there would be no genuine life. Bach's aria on the G string does not come automatically from the violin. It does not even come from the bow. Behind the instrument and the bow, to produce the song of faith, stands the Spirit of the living God. Words fail to describe faith in God in all its fullness. It's not just a wish. It's not merely a hope, although there's a lot of hope in it. It's not something to be proved. What is faith, then? Without presuming to put it all into words, faith looks like a great adventure in friendship. It's a trust in God that he has shown himself to be a father. It is love for God as he has shown his love to the whole world in his Son, Jesus Christ. It is life in God as he gives life to people through the power of his Holy Spirit. God himself has put all of this into words, our own kind of words. Human words in human language, ordinary words in ordinary language. The great God, incomprehensible beyond words, put into words such as they are, inadequate to express everything about God, the thoughts that he has toward all of us, and certainly toward you, beyond anything we could either ask or think. It's a marvelous achievement when you think about it. The Word of God coming to you right now in the ordinary words of an ordinary man. And that Word has in it the power of God's Holy Spirit to turn people around so that, like the prodigal son, they come to themselves and say, "I will return to my father. I'm not worthy, but I ask for your forgiveness, Father. I will serve you in any capacity you wish." If you want to talk about miracles, that's the biggest one of all. Don't just sit there trying to figure out God. You can't figure out even yourself. What you can do by the power of God's Holy Spirit is to believe in God, to have trust in God, to put your faith in God, and by faith in God, to live in loyalty and in the love of God. You don't have to know everything about God, and you don't have to know everything about life. There will always be mystery in life, and there will always be amazement in living by faith in God. When words fail, you will see the light of creation and the miracle of recreation. Life itself will look different to you. With its seasons of seed time and harvest, you will begin to appreciate the universe and the magnificent mind behind it all. Most of all, you'll begin to see yourself as you are, fearfully and wonderfully made, a new and fresh spark in your own life, the image of the invisible God, even Jesus Christ himself. St. Paul prayed for the followers of Christ that Christ himself might live in their hearts by faith, that they might know the length, breadth, height, and depth of the love of God which passes understanding. When words fail, people say simply, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. I believe. I don't understand everything, but I believe. I believe in the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I praise him for everything he is, and I thank him for everything he does. When words fail me, I rest on his redoubtable and unchanging word. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has stood at his elbow to give him good counsel? Or given any gift to God that he might be repaid in return? From him and his might, through him and his grace, and to him in his glory are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen."